Good morning. Welcome. What an incredible joy to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. We want to remind you, next Sunday, the youth are having a soup and sandwich luncheon. It's immediately following the second service. So if you're looking for a fantastic meal, come on out and support the youth. Again, that's next Sunday. We do want to remind those that are participating in choir, I think it's open if they want to join choir. They can certainly come on out. If you've never been part of choir before and you're interested in singing and have that giftedness, please come out and join choir. And that'll be on the regular schedule this coming week. So that's not in the bulletin, just to remind you that choir will begin as normally scheduled. Next week, we're going to start a new members class. If you're interested in membership here at Little Swatara, it is noted that it's going to be during the Sunday school hour, but if that time isn't suitable for you, we can look at other times that would work for the majority of you. I know the ones that are signed up, that's not the greatest time, so we're going to try to figure out a time that works best for everyone to be able to be more accommodating. Tonight is the Triple J at the cafe, Jesus, Java, and Jam, so come on out and just have a great time with contemporary music at the cafe at the square in Bethel. Are there any other announcements? Just a reminder with the We Care packages to continue to bring in the crackers, cookies, popcorn, and you can see that list highlighted here on the back of your bulletin, and we certainly appreciate all the things that you've been bringing in to place in those We Care packages. Any other announcements this morning? Again, we're so glad that you're here with us this morning. We welcome those here to celebrate the child dedication, the family and friends of the Blatts. We're so glad you're here with us this morning as well. If you would turn to the back of your bulletins, we have such an appropriate, considering the funeral services that were here, such an appropriate title to this morning's call to worship, Mourning into Joy. And of course, we know that joy comes as we are delivered from the darkness into our relationship with Jesus Christ, into the light, and have the future of salvation promised to each of us. Let's join in our call to worship. Dark days are part of our winter.
We want some light.
We all have dark times, cancer, abuse, fear, loneliness. Jeremiah declares that the not yet and now present God in Christ comes to comfort, to redeem.
Tell us more.
The call is out to bring in from the farthest points those who are scattered, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor, the firstborn and the last. You will be led into God's arms. You will see and know the light of Christ. You will find gladness and joy. You will proclaim and praise God and be satisfied. Join us in the unison prayer. O God of light, too often we search on our own and find many bright and shiny distractions, and we do not find the life that is truly life. Right now, we open our eyes, we open our hearts, we open our lives. We join with others so that together we will see, truly see. Come, Lord Jesus, join us here. Send your spirit powerfully into this space. Amen. I invite you to please rise and join us in our opening hymn, Spirit of the Living God, who is here among us, ready to minister to our hearts as we open them to Him. One of the things I'm continually reminded of is that there is power in prayer. I was visiting Gerald Batts at Hertzsche Medical Center, and he was trying to say things to me that I couldn't quite grasp, but I asked him if I could anoint him, and I said, "Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And as clear as day, he said, "Yes." And so in that moment, even amidst his voice being muffled, he was able to say without a shadow of doubt, "Yes, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And time again, the Lord just impresses upon me as we pray for each other's needs that he is with us. He is indeed here in this place and hears our prayers. Be assured of that this morning, friends. Are there prayer concerns to share with the church family this morning? We did celebrate the life of Chris Tobias yesterday. The flowers in the front are in remembrance of him, and just a special service to be able to honor him and be able to celebrate that very special person.
I'd like to ask for healing and strength for my father, Richard Dickinson. He's back in the hospital again. He has cancer of the esophagus, and the right side of his heart has, it's not functioning at all. So he's back in, so I need prayer for him. And also my mother-in-law, Ginny Long, she was taken to the hospital. Her blood sugar is very, very low, and she's not responsive off and on. It goes back and forth. So I need healing for both of them, please.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
We have a prayer concern for our granddaughter, Ashley. We just got a phone call not minutes ago that she was taken to Hershey Med Center with some kind of an intestinal infection. So she was going to spend a couple days there.
Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather here in this place. And we can worship you, we can come to you in prayer, we can communicate with you knowing that you are a God that hears us. Father, we just want to lift up Richard, we want to lift up Ginny, we want to lift up Ashley. We want to lift up Gerald, and we want to lift up those that are suffering this morning. We think of Faye, and we think of those that are going through difficult times. We place them, Lord Jesus, into your healing arms. We pray that your outstretched arm would reach down and touch them, Lord, and just allow any issue they are dealing with right now to be vanquished, to be vanished in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you were risen from the dead. We thank you that you conquered death. You conquered the grave. You brought us victory in our lives that we could be free. And how thankful we are this morning, Father, for that freedom. But we do pray, Lord, as we go through this life, as we struggle, as we face circumstances that don't make a whole lot of sense, Lord, that we would turn to you, that we would seek you, because we know, Lord Jesus, that you can be found. And so, Father, we think of Dorothy, we think of Tim, we think of Richard Miller's family and his loss, we think of Jay Dole and Rufus, and we continue to lift up Gerald and ask healing upon him, and Curtis and the Gambrell family, the Yolette family, and Elwood Knoll family, Lord. We just continue to pray that you would lead, you would guide, you would strengthen, you would nurture them, Lord, in these times of need. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. Lord, allow your angels to protect them. Lord, their biggest prayer, the prayer that they ask for the most, is that they don't retaliate, that they could maintain their peace stance and not have any type of feelings of adversity against their persecutors. And what a mindset to have amidst that, that we would be characterized by love, even when those that are the enemy are pressing in against us on all sides. Father, we do indeed have the ultimate victory over this dark world that we live in. And we thank you, Lord, for the light that shines through us, the story that we each have to share. May we be witnesses, Lord, and share our story with others. Father, we pray you would hear our prayers of confession during these next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness through the cross. We know the anguish, we know the suffering that your son Jesus went through. And there just aren't words to say thank you enough. But Lord, our lives can be a reflection. And we can be reminded daily of that baby that was born into a manger, that one day grew into a young man and went to the cross for each of us. And we turn to you, Lord Jesus, and we surrender. We ask you to take our lives and to use us. Use us, Lord Jesus, to impact this community, to allow others to see the love, to see the compassion that we have, that they too would want to have this hope of eternity that's deep within our souls, that our hearts have been transformed by. So, Lord, we ask that you would lead this service, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit and open our hearts, open our minds to receive all that you have in store for us. For we know, Lord, that you meet us exactly where we are. You know the pain, the hurt represented in this room. You know the joy. You know the sadness. And we just give it all to you during this time and ask that you would minister to our needs. And we would in turn share just how much of an impact you make on our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. This morning, we just ask that we look into our lives. We see the abundant blessings that God has given us. And out of the provisions that he provides for us, we ask you to search deep within to see what the Lord would have you give to further his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the blessings that you give us. We're thankful we have safe water to drink. We're thankful for food to fill our stomachs, a roof to put over our heads. You have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, we just pray that you would allow our offerings to bring glory to you, that we would be joyful givers, and that we would give out of a heart that wants to please you, Lord. Just thank you for the difference your Son makes in our lives. Receive our offering, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We come to a very, very special time in our service, and we want to invite the Blatt family to join us as we dedicate their children this morning. We are just so thankful for each of them, for their extended family, and their family that has joined us for this special time. Good morning. Today we share a joy as we dedicate Aiden, Ava, and Ansley. What a miracle their lives have been. There is no greater cause for thanksgiving than this precious gift of life. There's also no greater reason for prayer and commitment as their birth family and this church family take on the responsibilities entrusted to us for their care. This day we dedicate Aiden, Ava, and Ansley to God and commit ourselves to live so they might learn to know and love God. Matt and Leah, there have been many times for you to affirm your belief in and commitment to Jesus Christ. Children bring new challenges and joys to your life and your faith journey. Do you dedicate yourselves as their parents to instruct them in the Christian way of life, to provide a home, atmosphere of devotion and prayer, and to so live that they will be strengthened by your love and faith? If so, answer, we will. Will you endeavor to keep Aiden, Ava, and Ansley within the ministry and guidance of the church until they, by the power of God, shall accept for themselves the call of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we will. Aiden and Ava, you are Ansley's big brother and sister. You are learning what it means to share your mom and dad, your toys, your home, and she needs your love and your help. And she will give you love and will learn from you. You can help her learn about Jesus and God's love too. Will you love your little sister and help her to grow? If so, say, we will. We will. Followers of Jesus Christ, this day reminds us of the privilege and responsibility we have to nurture and support this family. We are to pray for, help, support, and encourage this special family as they love and nurture their children and endeavor to build a faith-filled home. Will you pledge your continuing support as they seek to fulfill their commitments as a family? And will you love and accept Aiden, Ava, and Ansley and share the responsibility for their development and spiritual nurture? If so, please rise. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite all of the children to come forward. You each have a special part in these child's lives as well. So if you're a child here this morning, make your way forward and stand with us here. Boys and girls, will you look to show love to Aiden and Ava and Ansley? Will you help to teach them many things? Will you try to do this as their friends and help guide them in this journey of faith? If so, say, we will. We will. Amen. Aiden, Ava, and Ansley, this day, you are dedicated to God, that all efforts of home, family, and church may nurture you and encourage you toward your decision for Jesus Christ. I'd invite Pauline and Jerry to join us for a time of prayer. We have a certificate to present to you for this special day as your children were dedicated before the Lord and before this family. Father God, we thank you so much for Leah and for Matt. We thank you for Aiden and for Ava and for Ansley. We thank you for their precious lives. We know that you love them very much. And we, as a church family, as children, boys and girls, as adults, we want to surround them and we want to love them so that they may know the love of Christ through us. Lord, help them to know that we are just a phone call away, that we are with them through this process of raising children. And we dedicate them to you and ask that your special touch would be upon this family as they grow in their faith and they minister together. And thank you for each child here and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. And the children can stay. You guys can stay for the children's moment. We have the children's moment. You guys can have a seat on the chair.
Thank you.
Lord bless you. Thank you, man.
You ready?
They invite the children.
Good.
Oh goodness! Congratulations. All right. Let me get my object for this morning. Does anyone know what this is? It's a flashlight. Does anyone have any in their house that don't work, that the batteries went dead? I think I went through 3 or 4 or 5 flashlights before I finally found one that worked. Now, what does a flashlight do? Can you guys tell me, what does a flashlight do? What does it do? Go ahead.
It shines the light.
It shines the light. Now, if it was dark in here, you can kind of see the light shining through that. So you can tell that there's light shining. And this is a really cool flashlight. You can take it and you can swivel it down. Oh, man, that's cool, huh? But the light is such an important part of our lives. In the darkness, have you ever tried walking in the dark?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know where you're going and you kind of know the familiar path, it's pretty easy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you're like me and last night you tried to walk from your bed to the bathroom and you forget where you put things, you can stub your toe, and that's not a really cool thing. So the light that came into this world, do you know who that was? Who's the light that came into this world? Is that Jesus? Is that what you're going to say? Yeah, Jesus came as the light into this world, and he helps us to be able to shine our lights. And so we have a lot of love to be able to give to others. And as we grow and we start to know Jesus more and more, as our families teach us, our friends teach us, we can shine that light and be a witness, be a testimony of our faith to others. Yes, do you have a question or a comment? Right. Under the bed can be a pretty dark place, so flashlights come in handy. Yeah, so our goal as we live through life is to keep our light shining. As you guys grow in your faith and come to know Jesus Christ personally, you're going to have a light to shine, just like Jesus shined his light into this world. So let's thank him for doing that. Lord Jesus, thank you for being the light. Thank you for being love in our lives. And we just pray for these precious children, Lord, that you would continue to nurture them, that we would continue to show them what true love is. And unconditional love. And we just pray for their parents, their grandparents, their family members, their friends, that as they walk together through this journey called life, that they would meet and encounter you and allow their lights to shine. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
I think it's safe to say people make a lot of assumptions in life. We think we know what we know when we really don't know what we know. This is especially true when dealing with a well-known subject. Let's take this for example. A young lady was in her first year of teaching, first graders. On the last day of school before Christmas, the kids all lined up to give her presents. The first student gave her a small box. She shook it and heard small things rattling inside of it. Knowing that the child's father owned a candy store, she said, "I know what this is. It's a box of chocolate." "Yes, teacher, it is candy. I hope you enjoy it." So she took the box from the next student. It was thin and long. His father owned a flower shop. So she said, "I know what it is. I know what it is. You gave me a flower." "Yes, teacher, it's a bunch of flowers. I hope you really love them." The next student hands her a tall, square box. Seemed to be moving about. His father owned the local winery, and it was leaking. She tasted it and said, "I know what it is. It's a new flavor of wine your dad made." "No," said the boy. She tasted it again. "Well, isn't it wine?" "No, teacher, it's not wine. I really, really wanted to surprise you. It's a puppy." We're now 2 weeks out from Christmas, celebrating Epiphany, a day revealing the Son of God as a human being in Jesus Christ. The Christmas story has been one that everyone assumes they know. Yet if you ask the average person on the street, the reality is we'd hear something about a virgin, a baby in a manger, and thoughts of a shepherd or wise men or kings. But there's so much more to the Christmas story than that when we're able to see it from God's point of view. The true story of Christmas is not linked to one day or a week or even a season. The Christmas story doesn't even end with the death of the now grown man whose story is told to this day. You see, the impact of that day echoes through all eternity. It's the impact of God becoming man and dwelling with us. The only one who can properly put that into perspective is God himself. And perhaps the best summary of what it means from a God point of view is found in John chapter 1. John didn't write about shepherds and wise men because he was overwhelmed by the impact of what the incarnation of Christ meant for all people for all time. The story of Christmas is not only about a few shepherds or even Mary and Joseph. The true story is about the good news of glad tidings for all men. We celebrated Christmas because what happened that day was the defining moment of so many of our lives today. That God came to save mankind, and we have found him. Many of us have seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. C.S. Lewis wrote repeatedly about finding the deeper magic. Sadly, for many people, there's a hidden story in Christmas. They hear about the baby so much that they miss that God's Son, as Jesus Christ, came to be among us. So as we look for the deep magic within that story of Christmas, there are three concepts that I want us to focus on. The first is that John refers to Christ as the Word. John begins his book with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's a mouthful, but it's an interesting choice of words. We see that John was trying to point out the importance of God's Word. As I looked up the word logos, there were many definitions, but the one that stood out to me meant comes from God. It's his sovereign declaration of what will happen. God's word is his plan. Part of what John is communicating is that the coming of Christ has been God's plan from the beginning. That being said, what John understood to be scripture, what we call the Old Testament, is dedicated to the revealing of this plan. It's revealed through our relationship. The word of God tells our past relationship with God. He spent a long time working through many people to reveal the meaning of Christmas, of his coming to us. The writing of the Bible spanned 1,500 years. The most important lesson we take from our past is our need for God. Think of the heroes of the Old Testament. All of them had flaws. Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, had a disturbing lack of faith. Moses, the prince of Egypt, was a murderer. David, let's not even go there quite yet. Noah was considered righteous only after God gave him grace. All of our heroes had flaws. Even Joseph, the son of Jacob, had some problems when he was younger. Having dreams that your brothers and father will serve you are one thing, but repeating them is another. Joseph, we could say, had some pride issues. All of us, when we're honest, know that we have flaws. That's part of our story that points to our need for God. He is the only one who can give us the strength to be the people we want to be. That's the prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. The strength to become the person that each of us want to be does not come from ourselves. It comes from God changing us from the inside out. We desperately need his strength. That is why the most important promise from the past was that Christ would come. Specifically, let's look at the wording from one of these promises. It's found in Isaiah 11:1. It says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit." David, we know, was the original son of Jesse. He made a complete mess of his life. His life was marked by everything from lust to fear to greed. It's all there in the story of his life. And if that sounds bad, his family tree got even worse. The nation was broken. The family of the great king fell from its lofty heights, out of power and out of the public eye. As Isaiah said, it was a stump. But out of that stump would come hope for all mankind. Out of that stump, our Savior would rise. Let me ask us this. Have we ever felt like we're part of that line? We're broken despite our best intentions, despite all the things we desire to be, not just for God, but for ourselves. We've failed. Of course we have. We all feel that way at times. But catch the parallel here. The word tells our story. It tells of our need for God. And then it tells us that there is hope, that out of our needs, salvation will come. It's the divine declaration, the plan of God, and it has been from the beginning. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Christ stepped into our present story. In that day, it made a huge transition from telling simply of our need and the hope for the future that we had to a present reality. God came. The stump was brought back to life. That's the story for all of us. John put it like this: we went from death to life. Paul states in Ephesians 2, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now I want you to notice that word with. It isn't that we were with Christ or that we will be with Christ. No, we are with Christ. Present tense. That's sensationally good news, friends. But Christ is not just a word or a collection of words. Christ is the Word. Are you with me this morning? Are you following me? John uses the word logos in the singular sense. Christ is the final authoritative Word of God. Christ was God's plan from the beginning. Before there was sunrise and sunset, there was Christ, the Word of God. He was ordained from the beginning to heal our relationship with God. When we realize that we know what we need to do, there's such an extreme importance of telling somebody. We need to be open to continue to tell people about our present relationship. Talk about a New Year's resolution for 2015. But people can come up with all sorts of silly objections to things that happened 2,000 years ago. But they cannot object to what is happening today. We need to be telling people the story of Christ in us right now. Jesus is the Word yesterday, today, and forever. And His story, our story, must be told. John also refers to Jesus as the light. Apart from Christ, people miss the meaning of Christmas, and people still don't quite understand the nature of light. It's both a particle and a wave. Things are supposed to be either or, not both. It's a great comparison that they both refuse to be put in convenient classification. The phenomenon isn't something new. John was writing about it 2,000 years ago. Verse 5 of John 1 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The picture of light in darkness is one of contrast and conflict. Where there is light, the darkness is driven away. 2 Samuel 22:29, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." The Lord is the light. And sometimes the very source of our darkness comes from within our own fears, our own failures. But John tells us, the light shines in the darkness. That's an awesome, awesome picture of contrast and conflict. As the sun rises, the darkness retreats. As the sun sets, the darkness comes in, invading and overcoming the land. It is a word picture of striking imagery that John is painting for us. The conflict between light and darkness. And then he moves on and on an entirely new level. From God's point of view, this is not something that happens on an inanimate level. This truly is person. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. It tries, but it can't. Look at that word, comprehend. The Greek word is katalambano. When I looked, there were two definitions for the word comprehend that seemed to apply to this passage. I think if we asked John which one he meant for our American minds, he would simply say, yes. Because they both clearly apply to the principle that he was writing about. The first is understanding. In fact, some translations may say the darkness did not understand it. That's a good translation because people who have not found Christ cannot understand what His coming meant for all mankind. That's why you see so many people on TV who get paid very good money to try and define who Christians are. They can't understand what Christmas means. They can't understand what Christ did, and they can't understand what He continues to do in His people today. They're looking at a belief in a historical figure, and we're living life in the present, in a relationship with God. If we can't understand that God is not the past, but the present, and the future. If we can't get these basics right, we're not going to understand the details. And here's the first basic. The baby in the manger is still on the throne. He was the plan from the beginning, and he is still the plan for today. He is the light, particle, and wave. Those in darkness, those who are seeking, cannot understand him until they embrace him. And the second definition of this, it means to grasp. In this context, literally John is saying of light and darkness that it cannot be grasped. That's quite the definition as well. Do we ever stop to wonder why Christianity is so threatening, so opposed, and every other religion seems just fine? It's because that little baby is so big that it cannot be grasped. No matter how hard men may try, he refuses to be put in a box and left alone. Jesus told us his mission in John 10:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. If we're here and we've never accepted Christ, and my talking about him makes us uncomfortable, don't blame me. Don't blame your friends who talked to you about him either. Blame that baby in a manger. It wasn't a simple birth. It was an invasion. People couldn't understand God. They couldn't find God. They were trapped on earth while God was in heaven. We were separated by the enemy, Satan, by our own sin and the darkness of our lack of understanding. We were trapped behind enemy lines. So God invaded that territory to save us. That star over the manger was the burst of the first artillery shell. On a spiritual level, this was God sending in the Navy SEALs. But his army only had one person. This invasionary force was God himself. The battle raged on for 33 years, and in the end, his entire army was killed. But he won. Did you hear that, friends? He won. And because of that, we are free. If we're still seeking God, hear me on this. He came from heaven to earth to have a relationship with us. And because we lack understanding doesn't mean he's going to give up on us. We can't fit him in a box. We can't grasp him. But hear this. He can be found. He can be found. For those of us who have found him, there's another great truth here. When you run into trouble, when the world or circumstances have you boxed in and your back is against the wall, and we've been captured by the enemy, he can't be grasped. He can't be tied down or stopped, and he's coming to deliver us if only we trust him. The distance of the universe from heaven to earth couldn't keep him from us. Death couldn't keep him either. Friends, no matter how dark things may be, he will always be there. And he will always be victorious because nothing can hold him. 1 Samuel 2:9 says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength, no man shall prevail. We lack understanding, but he is the light to show us the way. We lack the strength to live the way we want to. All of us do. No man shall prevail, but God is strength beyond our understanding. He has been the plan for our salvation from the beginning. He's the light of our understanding in the present. All of our greatest needs were met in one moment. The incarnation, God becoming flesh, was the answer to our needs. We need forgiveness for the past. We need strength to live today. And we need hope for the future. All of those needs were met when God came down into that manger. This was the plan of God while we were still trapped in the darkness. Before we asked for help, before we even knew of our need, God already had a plan in place to reach out to us. The Message paraphrases it like this. It says, this is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. That's found in 1 John 4:10. What an amazing love. What an amazing love God has for us. That's exciting. That's thrilling. That's the kind of love that we should be returning to Him. Not because it's a commandment, although it is, but because that kind of love, love that reaches out to us through the ages and never leaves, is so overwhelming that when we realize the truth, we should want to embrace it with everything that we have and never, never let it go. Here's the beautiful truth for us today. God reaches out to us, not just to meet our needs. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Please, dear friends, don't ever settle for good enough, for getting by. Christ didn't come that we could have an average, ordinary life. He didn't come that we could live on bread and water alone. He came that we might have abundant lives. Settling for good when you've been called to great is one of the biggest mistakes we make as followers of Christ. Don't settle for good enough. Find the abundance that God is calling you to. That's our mission as a body of believers, as Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. There is so much more. Understanding that Christ invaded our darkness to rescue us and bring us into abundance and a personal relationship. This should unleash a complete joy in our lives that's obvious to others. It should be evident in the way that we live, the way that we act. That, my friends, is the true joy of Christmas. The greatest gift we can give is to share the reality of the incarnation with those who are searching. There was this philosopher named Nietzsche. He once speculated that God is dead. I'd hate to have his legacy because we know he was wrong. It's not because we've read the abundance of evidence that has been collected over the years that prove that the events of the Bible are a historical fact. No, there's an even greater proof than that. It's because we've seen the impact of God working in the lives of people through the years, people like you and I. The light is in the world, and people need to know what God has done for us. Let that be our commitment in 2015 to be witnesses to the light. Amen. His love is so wonderful. His love is so beyond our comprehension. But please know that we were made for so much more. Don't settle for average. Don't settle for anything less. But strive for the greatest. Strive for the best. And that is Jesus Christ, who is for each of us. Go in peace, declaring His good news to this world. Amen.